Yeah, I'd say first initial concepts were done in 2010.
Okay.
Very, very different than what we make right now, but you know, fundamentally still using motors. And then it wasn't until I found it in 2013 that I actually start to reach out to the guys who were working on some of the early prototypes and offering some ideas. Okay. And that was up in Chicago. I live now in Austin, Texas. And when I moved to Austin in 2015, it was to redesign the whole machine basically from the ground up. And we've done that, you know, twice now. So I guess you could say I've quite a significant influence over the last 8 years in terms of what you see today.
What were the changes that you kind of came in to make for them? Like as far as the prototype goes to what it is now?
I don't think this podcast is gonna be long enough, but yeah, I mean,
the big ones, I guess.
yeah. Essentially what it was is like the first original ideas were like leverage machines that used weights, which is one way to, you know, accentuate the negative on a, and like a bench press or something.
Yeah,
but they're sure. Big and they're long and they're just difficult. But they worked, like they had, you know, fundamentally correct. Then they said, well, what if we put a motor on a system? And then they made a few of these earlier prototypes. And then they made this one thing called the Omni, the early version of the Omni, which is like a belt driven system that's around like a motorized winch. That was the type of machine that I found in 2013.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was my first exposure to it. But the computer software was like barely functional. Like it tracked a couple things. The graphs like didn't scale correctly. Yeah. So if you had like too high of a number, you know, you couldn't even see the top of the, like the bar graph kind of thing. It was early days. It was just as early as it could possibly be. And they were just chipping away at like, maybe it's an idea. Maybe we can do something with this. And then I reached out to Mark Alexander, who's our chairman. And I said, you know, I think we could build something here in Chicago with these machines. But at the time, I just felt like it wasn't quite where it needed to be.
Yeah.
In order for us to run a business with it. And so Jim Keen, who's our director of education, he and I both started reaching out and offering help. And then I started talking to the developer. We started talking about different designs for the machines. And then we had a showroom in Chicago where we tested some of the latest prototypes on friends and family. And all that stuff kind of led eventually to 2015. And we said, we're going to redesign this. We're going to do it with a major manufacturer.
Jeez,
and man. We basically from the ground up rebuilt the whole thing.
Holy cow. One thing I noticed too, it was funny hanging out with the BioFit guys and looking at sort of the practical applications of the machine in general. It brings up a good point as far as like resistance training in general. Nobody really considers the time during a rep. So it could be anything you do outside of the gym or, you know, whenever you're lifting free weights or something, sorry, inside the gym, nobody thinks about like the slowness and the force that goes into the rep. So I think what I saw was that people were getting educated without even realizing it. So they changed their workouts to suit what they're learning from the ARX machine. So it was, for me, educationally, it was like, oh, wow. You know, people didn't even realize that this was available to them even outside of the ARX, you know?
Right. I mean, the concepts that ARX are built on, in particular time under tension is what you're referring to there, as well as just the eccentric contraction. So that's lowering the weight, like in a bench press as it comes down to your chest. I mean, every part of the range of motion has some value to it. To truly optimize it, then that would be ideal. But with weights, they just don't alter and change as our levers and our arms change throughout the range of motion. So if I'm able to bench press 100 pounds on the way up, I might be able to bench press on the way down, you know, 200 for half of it, and then 150 all the way back down to 100.
Yeah.
But you need some kind of like magic weight fairy to pull that off, and that's not going to happen with a weight. So you see over the course of, I don't know, last 40 years, variations of what we call variable resistance. So this is people doing it with drop sets as a way to kind of change up the resistance as quick as possible, but you're still not optimal. And then you have chains, and then you have bands, and then you have bands and chains, then you have forced spotters and guys on top of you and your buddy like
all,
you know,
kinds
pushing
of
down
things. Yeah.
All the things, man. And so this is a very long-standing problem that we've all been trying to like create workarounds for.
Yeah.
And some people have done some ingenious jobs doing that with a standard weight system. But like when it comes to, is it optimized? Can it do it every single, you know, moment of the day? No matter what your capability is, if you're, you know, we say grandmothers are linebackers, like whatever your skill level is, can it do it for everybody? And then can we add a computer controlled component to this to make sure that it's done perfectly, safely, and most importantly too, quantifiably? Because it's really difficult on the fly. You'll see on our graphs, if you go to our website, look at the, like a video of someone using it. I mean, your strength is changing just from moment to moment, dramatically, yeah. You know? And so that's really where, like, until you show somebody that in an environment like we've created with ARX, it's really difficult for them to understand the concept.
It's cool too. When I tried it, it's the most adaptive thing, and you know, it's in the name, but that's immediately what I thought of. It was like, this is the reason why this is so cutting edge, is because it's the only thing that could really, like you said, take into account your skill level at the time and then reorient itself to what you need, you know? So you're building strength no matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your lot in life is. You're always improving with that particular machine.
And I think the bigger part of that too is yes, like I can take somebody off the street who has no experience with resistance exercise at all.
Yeah.
And I can get them to work to their, you know, momentary maximum in 4 or 5 reps. Like I can get them there. I do this all the time. And then once they get good at it, I love the fact that there's no ceiling to your progression. Your ceiling of your progression is based on essentially genetics, which no one ever really hits, and more about your recovery and your lifestyle. The actual stimulus of this resistance exercise is always going to match whatever you're capable of. It's always going to match as you keep increasing. It's just going to keep increasing with you, right? It's always hard. You never win, which sometimes for some people like sounds demoralizing, but I love it. It's empowering. It frees me up to think like, oh, wow. As long as I continue to do the right things to keep this physical body recovered and in good health, you know, whatever my skill set is, whatever my force capacity is, this is going to keep getting matched. And that could be, I could go from, you know, off the couch, a slovenly overweight human to like a full on Mr. Olympian. I use the exact same machine from day one to, you know, that's a awesome show prep.
It's amazing. Yeah. And the thing that astounded me too is that you can completely let go of everything you've been doing for 2 or 3 workouts that last minutes on these machines. So the people who did it, you know, the people who were the practitioners of the machine at BioFit, they would work out 2-3 times a week and they looked great. They did. They were all veiny, vascular. And I'm like, so all you do is this ARX machine. They're like, yeah. So it's one of these disruptions to what we've always thought was the only way to become big, muscular, that kind of thing. And I would see it as something that could completely change the atmosphere of fitness in its entirety, right?
Yeah.
Like from the ground up at some point.
Yeah. And that's essentially, you know, that's the driver and the motivation for us as a team is we all come from a more traditional background. I played all the sports in high school and used to squat 450 pounds.
I thought you said played office sports. So I was like, what is
office sports? You know, shooting across the room,
shooting
into a trash
the
can.
Paper into the waste bin.
It's Dwight Schrute Olympics.
Like the office.
All of the sports. So football, baseball, basketball. Like I've done all the Olympic lifting stuff. I took a short stint in CrossFit. Like I've done a lot of the things personally, and a lot of our team has. And we understand the world that we're trying to change. Like we know it inside and out. Our chairman, you know, was one of the earliest people in the super slow movement. Like his dad was, connected with those guys over there early in the 90s, like talking about slow resistance exercise.
Yeah.
Like one step of failure, how it could affect cardiovascular health, blah, 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 blah. You know, that stuff's been around for 30 years. It's not like it's really new. It just might still be pretty small niche. And
which is weird, honestly, you know,
it's so effective too, especially for people who are like, you're not trying to be, you know, superstar athletes or anything where you might have to add some other stuff in there to round you out. But like, we're just talking about the general 99% of the population who need to clear glucose, have some significant strength so they can like go to the grocery store and pick up the groceries and, you know, grab their kids off the ground or, do whatever it is to just be like a normal human to live a fun life. That's really who we're serving. You know, yes, we can absolutely serve the NFL athlete, no problem. But there's a very small few of those people. And so we're looking to really help the 99% to change the paradigm. And they, a lot of people get disenfranchised with the resistance exercise world, the gym, quote unquote, like whatever that is for you, because that world is not really optimized for what our bodies need. Right. So we have to get real creative. We got to do all sorts of different things and use some combination of machines and have our friends there to support us and help us on that one rep PR. Like there's a lot of hurdles to getting to where we want to go, which is we need to challenge ourselves. That's essentially what happens, like, or is needs to happen in order for us to get better. But how do we do that safely and effectively is just like, there's thousands and thousands of magazines constantly, you know, rewriting this. And one thing that they're not talking about is whether or not the actual fundamental tool that we're using might be just fundamentally flawed. Like it can't adapt and change. It can't, it's 100 pounds on the way up and 100 pounds on the way down most of the time. Like, and then you add a band and that's still, you're still guessing. And that's realistically like what we're trying to get across is it's not that you're not working hard. It's not that you're not, you know, spending enough time in the gym. Many people are spending way too much time in the gym.
Yeah.
It's just the tool you're using is not as efficient as it could be. That's what we sought out to create, and we have, and we've proven it over the last, you know, 8 years. Like there's just thousands and thousands of people who are just using this and saying, oh, I'll never go back to weights. Like I do it for fun, or I do it for like, you know, maybe some nostalgia I just like deadlift that way. Like, cool. Fantastic. But when you're going to do those like really big high load days and you need to make sure you're safe, you do it on an AirX machine. You don't put, you know, 500 pounds on the trap bar.
Yeah.
And say like, cross my fingers that my spine can hold up.
And one thing I realized too, the ARX machine in and of itself is a really nice, like sexy solution to what you talked about, like the concept that's been around forever. And there's a lot of other companies out there that are trying to bring these concepts into the limelight again, because I think a lot of social media and a lot of what's out there is a lot of the same messaging. It's always just reused messaging. So you go on any given, celebrity on Instagram, and it's the same mission statement for a trainer, and they keep preaching the same stuff. And for whatever reason, that is still a big thing. So somebody like you guys taking a concept that works so well, and you've managed to make it sexy and like this is what you need to do it our way, and you'll find how amazing it is, you know?
And I always tell people, don't take our word for it.
Yeah. You know,
get on the machine, try one, tell me if it's not a felt different experience. And I'm still batting 1,000 on that. Like no one's ever gotten off the machine and be like, this thing sucks.
No, like, it doesn't work. It's fantastic.
Like, it doesn't work.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. But we've just done thousands of demos right now. Like I don't ever worry about whether or not we're on the right path. I don't worry about whether or not this is like fundamentally correct.
Yeah, you're not like, I don't know, guys, we need to change this up a little bit. Yeah.
I if anyone's questioning what this is, and if they're wondering if there's any research behind this, like we just did a research study with Western Colorado University, which basically ARX versus weights. And the numbers were crazy. It's like 3X strength gains, like 3X improvement of VO2 max, like 2 times the fat loss, like just like the multiples on it were way, like we knew we had something good, but like that really showed us exactly how good it was. And you know, we're not stopping our mission. Like this is the car. This is Henry Ford, like showing up with everybody, you know, riding around on horses, and people are like, well, why would I ever need this car? I don't have to go that far. Like, what are you going to build? A system of roads? What are you going to build? Like, how's it? What do you feed this?
Like people laughing at you. Yeah. It's you guys are certainly that thing right now. You know,
what I love is when we first started though, you know, there weren't the Tonals of the world. There wasn't the Pelotons of the world, the connected fitness.
So true. You're right.
World that has exploded in that whole entire industry. So one thing that's really nice is like people are actually starting to trust that technology can be like a step function improvement on their exercise equipment. Now, I'm not saying that all those pieces are like unbelievably world changing, but they are pushing everything in the right direction, and they're reframing what people believe is possible with exercise equipment. So Tonal in particular has a variable exercise, a variable resistance capability for their exercise machine, but it's maxed out at 200 pounds. Like, I'm not saying it's bad.
I tried a Tonal. You're right. I did. It was cool how it generated the weight, but it did have like it had a ceiling. Yeah. So
they're using magnets, and okay. there's still some guessing that's happening. It's not as accurate as our system would be. For exactly how much resistance it is, because just it's fundamentally backwards. But
yeah, if it's magnets, I wonder. I don't even know how you could really put numbers to that. You know, I mean, maybe
they do, and you know, there's moments where you're like, okay, I want to like hold this and like hit a little button and add a certain amount of resistance, but you don't really know if that's perfect for your system in that moment.
That's true.
So by that, I mean, there's still some guessing happening, but it's better. It's directionally accurate. Like, they're changing the resistance based on the range of motion and how your fatigue is playing out over the course of a set. You're not as strong on rep 10 as you are on, you know, rep 1 through 5. And so we have to account for all that on the fly. And so they're doing that, but they went commercial, they went home, and they capped it at 200 pounds. I promise you, like, most people are going to max out, especially with the lower body, they're going to max that thing out immediately. Otherwise, you're going to rip it off the wall. And that's pretty much what happened when I tried it. I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, great. Like, how much more can I get out of this thing? And like, no, you're already at the top. I was like, oh, that's a bummer.
Oh, you're like, oh, like, God. Yeah.
I was penalized essentially by being too strong, or like too fit, or like, you know, beyond its capability, which
the total
is
total stop working. It was like, man, you've maxed us out. We're good.
Right. And so it's a little bit of a bummer in that case that we want to make sure that everybody knows that on our equipment, there is no ceiling, right? It's man versus machine in the way that, like, you just keep going. You know, who cares? You want to throw, you know, 1200 pounds on an eccentric leg press, have at it. Like, you want to turn that into 2400 pounds, have at it. Like, these are the kind of things where people don't really understand what their true capabilities are until we've quantified it. And then we've put them in a system that can also maximally continually stimulate their top end. And that's not every day is like a PR kind of thing, but like, we're pushing you, if you're doing it right, like, pushing you pretty hard. And your body is going to change. It is going to add muscle mass. It is going to add strength. You're going to get neurological muscular improvement to fire more muscle fibers and recruit more muscle fibers. Like, all these things happen just by like getting on and doing 5 reps or something. But we don't talk about any of that on the front end. What we just tell people is like, this is safe, this is quantified, and most importantly, this is probably the most time efficient thing you're ever going to do.
That's exactly what really impressed me. And what have you guys found as well about like the transfer quality from going? I can imagine doing that stuff there. If you did want to go back and do more traditional weight training, I can imagine all of the little individual balance muscles you've worked out on the ARX just turns all of your other lifts into a way more effective experience. You know, you're lifting heavier probably, and you guys have found the most effective way to combine strength training with aerobic activity. So there's probably a slew of other lifts that get benefited from this, you know?
Yeah, there's no doubt that there is some transfer, but if you get like, let's say, 50% improvement over the course of like 6 months on ARX doing leg press, that doesn't mean you go from squatting 200 to 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, immediately. There's still a skill of squatting, and alternatively, you need to think about, like, you may have gotten 50% on your eccentric max, let's say. So in a squat, that's like I'm standing and I'm lowering the weight down to the ground. Now I might be able to do 300 at the very top of that. But then as I start to lose leverage, as my legs start to bend, that number starts to go down. And you see that on a graph, it like peaks and it falls off. And at the very bottom of the squat, I might only be at like 150 pounds. Mm. But if I'm squatting 300 pounds on the way down, like, cool, I can lower that, but I can't get out of the hole because I'm not that strong. Yeah. So when you are squatting, let's say, when you're using a weight to squat, you're essentially training to the lowest force capability that you have, because realistically, if I can't get out of the hole, I call that an end of the rep. right? I'm like, oh, I maxed
out. You're done at that point. Yeah.
That's my weakest range of motion where my legs are bent. And then I'm trying to concentrically lift that weight. And that's cool. That's worked for years. Like, there is value in doing it. But realize that, like, you are training to your least common denominator down there.
That's a good point.
Right? Like, yeah. You're not training to what your top strength is when I'm standing, and then I lower it. So let's just say I'm stuck at 150 pounds because I can't get out of the hole if anything more. But I can lower way more, but I never get it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just very inefficient. And so now we're not training each and every time to what our max capability is. We're training to that least common denominator weight that we can get off our chest in a bench press.
Yeah.
But I want all of it. I want the whole range of motion to be optimized. I want to feel challenged in every portion of that range of motion. And that's where the time efficiency is insane. If you're just being challenged at the bottom of a squat, I don't know, what is that? Like 10, 20% of the whole range of motion?
Yeah, that's just a little fraction of it. Like, yeah, there's more.
What are you doing with the rest of the 80%? You're basically resting or like letting gravity do all the work. That's inefficient. Like,
yeah,
there's a better way to
gains.
Do that.
Yeah.
And you're losing time. So if you're an athlete, if you're just like a parent, if you're just a person who values their time, and you're thinking about that realistically, like, you're essentially taking 80% of every movement that you do, and it is not optimized, it is not challenging you, and you're throwing it away. Like, you're not really getting any benefit from that. And so we have to do more sets. We have to do more reps per set. We have to do more volume. We have to show up more times to get this stimulus to actually challenge our bodies so we can improve and like put on more muscle mass or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
It's really inefficient.
It is. And it allows people to learn their bodies a little bit better, because exactly what you said, you know, there's the eccentric portion, and then you could be isometric with your lift. So we're focusing on just the concentric portion. Whereas you don't understand how your body's going to operate in the other parts of the lift. So it's interesting, because it's a shit ton of work. When I did it, I was like, this is a lot of work, but it gets people to do that work. Like, nobody really understands how your body functions as a dynamic system, like going through the different parts of the movement. So it's a great answer to the problem of intensity going into an exercise. So it, like,
you said the magic word.
Yeah.
Intensity is everything.
Intensity is everything.
What we really proved in the study with Western Colorado was, you know, they were doing, you know, we were equating for volume and all that kind of stuff, but like the intensity that we were comparing to was AirX was all out. We were just letting people do all out reps for all of their AirX workouts, but we were keeping people on the weight training side to about 70% of one rep max. So that's the College of Sports and Medicine guidelines for where you should be roughly from an intensity perspective.
Yep, that's right.
And we're like, that's essentially what most people train to. Like, not everybody in there is like, you know, slapping the chest and hitting the smelling salts and like chalking up and popping hands and like, yeah, getting hyped for the one rep like max. That's like the best deadlift of their life.
Yeah.
Like, no one's doing that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people are in there just doing the lightweights. They just don't want to get hurt. Like, they want to kind of look good in the mirror and like feel like they got a pump or whatever the case is. But that's what I'm saying, is like, that level of intensity is actually what we were comparing against. And when the intensity gets picked up, in any case, ARX, weights, otherwise, you get more improvements. Like, it's true. It happens. Yeah. This is why high intensity interval training, right, became like massive, just like blew up in the last 5 years.
Shot up, yeah.
Everybody talks, it's a hit. Everything is hit, because the intensity is everything. And now I love that. It's like, but you guys are still doing it with the old technology. You're doing it with like aerobics. You're doing it with all this stuff. Great. It probably is still better than doing the moderate intensity or low intensity stuff. But like, there's another level out there. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make that available to as many people as possible. Because, like, here's what the max intensity actually feels like while also being safe.
And it's funny too, because I know I'll talk to trainers, and I think I knew this too, you know, training people back in the day and everything. There's whenever somebody hasn't like been in the gym and they're trying to get into a new kind of exercise or something, intensity is not something that's like understood. So somebody doesn't know how it feels. And that's the funny thing. I didn't realize that because I've been doing it for a while, but somebody who's never done it before getting right into exercise just now, it's almost like it's literally like the body has to learn and understand what intensity is for that person. So it's good for that too. It's just the it's amazing. Like it solves problems that people don't even realize are there maybe, you know?
Yeah. I love taking people who are, you know, complete novices in a gym who have like basically just wrote it off. It's like, yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you give them a couple sessions and all of a sudden they realize like, oh, wow, it's a really safe environment.
Yeah.
Like I can't really get hurt unless I do something like really dumb on this thing.
Yeah.
It just constantly matches whatever I'm doing. So they feel safe. So psychologically, like that stressor's down. They don't have to be thinking about my range of motion. It's like, oh, if I go too far, like it's going to hurt my shoulder or, you know, don't want to lock my knees or anything. Yeah. We pre-program all of that out. So we make the exact same range of motion for you saved in the system every time. They don't have to worry about how fast they're moving the machine because the machine moves at a constant rate of speed or whatever program it to be, seven seconds each way or whatever, like a 14 second rep is like the default for most people.
Yeah. It's long too. It's funny. You don't even realize how long it feels. And then you do it and you're like, God, Jesus.
Yeah. Try doing 20 second positive only. Those are brutal.
God. Yeah.
So what I'm saying here is like, we're just pulling out variable after variable that is on people's mind. That's whether or not you acknowledge it is not what I'm talking about. It's there.
Yeah.
And it's something you have to pay attention to. And therefore, because you are worried about those things, you are not worried about the number one thing, which is like, is my arm and muscles being challenged?
Yeah. Am I getting something out of this
maximum level? And so we're just playing that game and we're all kind of like, you know, some people are a little more risky, right? You got your, you know, your big bodybuilder bro in the corner. Like he's ready to go. He's ready to take that risk today. He's going to grow. Like,
yeah.
He's going to command you to grow.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? Anyways, but those are the kind of things where it's like those people get more results than the people who are doing like the 10-pound, you know, side raises in the corner who do three sets of 10, never feel challenged, and then leave. And they're like, well, I put my time in. Like I did something today. True, better than nothing. But if we're trying to optimize, we need to find that level of intensity. And I can get people who have never been in the gym to get on ARX, take out all those variables, remove all the stress in your body and your mind, and then say, look at the screen. This is your number right now. This is your first rep. This is your second rep. This is your third rep. All right, we're going to go try to beat those numbers right now. Then I gamify it with something that's instantaneously quantifiable in front of them. And they are changed individuals in the moment, right? Their focus is now on something that like they can grasp tangibly. Like I see the number on the screen. I see the graph for me before, and I know that I'm capable of doing it because that's my number from last week. And now they're like reaching and digging. We're teaching them that like level of intensity that you're talking about without really even coaching.
Yeah.
They are just self-motivating the whole process.
There isn't any coaching. That's the darndest thing. I mean, you know, they set it up, they get your range of motion checked out. They kind of set up your profile. You know, all that stuff. But after that, they told me, hey, just push at your own leisure. You know, if you're feeling pain, don't push it. But it was cool because I could feel the machine going with what I could do. You know, I felt it changing. I knew that if I was hurting, I could not push as hard, you know? So yeah, I was impressed by that. Cause I'm like, this is the best solution to anybody worried about safety. So, I'm sure, and you mentioned that a few times, that's probably the number one thing that you guys have tried to just tackle and make sure was like set in stone, you know?
It's if you get injured while training, that's no longer exercise, right? That's a sport.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I tore my Achilles playing basketball after doing, you know, a couple of years of CrossFit type training. I was like, man, like that's 6 months of my life. It's actually more like a whole year of my life that just kind of like, boop, like evaporated on me.
Yeah.
Like my physical body just was like, yep, we're gonna take a whole year off, see what happens.
It's like, we're done.
It sucked, man.
Yeah,
it was like very difficult psychologically, and then getting back into the game of learning how to exercise and learning what my body was capable of, and more importantly, making sure this never happens again.
Yeah,
the people who don't care about safety in the gym have not yet been injured.
Yeah, it's true.
Like in either in the gym or in some other capacity, they don't recognize how debilitating and how awful it is when you've had a serious injury. And it's really unfortunate because it's something that as a human being, like we can't write it off. It's a requirement. It's like oil in the car. It's gasoline. It's air in the tires. Like it's essential that you exercise, and it's essential you do resistance exercise. But because somebody's been injured before and they're too scared or too worried about the potential of it happening again,
yeah,
they just opt out. They're like, I'll just chill on the treadmill, or like, I'll just ride the bike, or I'll, yeah, not go at all.
Yeah.
And no, that's what you've seen in the last, you know, 15, 20 years is people just like, I'm out. Like, I don't want to sign up for this thing. And this is really the only opportunity that they see in the world is like your traditional sort of like gym. But now there's maybe a couple alternative options with like Tonal at home, but it's not ubiquitous. Like that's not everywhere. And most people are still even seeing that as, no, that's not for me.
Yeah.